And welcome to Go Mode Podcast. I'm Danty.
I'm Herfy Durfy.
And today's special guest is Jesse Radical Sniper 99 himself. How you doing, man?
Great. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, sure, thanks our pleasure. For being thanks on. For, yeah, thanks for spending your time with us on this wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, today is easy for that, so.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad it was easy. Given that, you know, we're going to record this and I'm going to bang out the editing as fast as possible so I can actually not have to do it on my kid's birthday. So that'll be the plan. But I want to be that guy to open this episode. I guess I should say this is Go Mode, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. So if you don't know what a Super Nintendo is, you probably have no idea what we're talking about. And I don't know how you found the podcast, but, you know, that's what I'm contractually obligated to say, Tim. But anyway. So Jesse, you are the one person who has survived the community transition. I'm going to say in power, as in you were brought on council for the best and funnest term that I ever served. I say that loosely, as Jesse kind of just sits back in his chair, he, and then stayed on and got voted in as a TARC admin. So, Tell me how that's been going for you, I guess. Let me jump in and just ask that right out the gate.
So I will say, like, having been part of that last council term, it was, you know, and then the transition that was we were a part of, like, you know, I was part of that group with you on setting up TARC and bringing people in and trying to figure out what everything looked like. I will say, like, knowing what we did as council versus TARC, like, this is easier, I think. It's
okay, good.
You know, there's a lot to set up. There was a lot to figure out. Like, I think there's still things we're learning and, you know, understanding. Like, when we first started setting up the cheating investigations, it was like, what do we see this looking like? You know, do we want to mention if XYZ things happened or don't? You know, those are things that, you know, we knew what it looked like with council and like having Fear alongside who also did the council thing. Like he and I have that kind of experience to say, this is how it was done. This worked or this didn't. But overall, I think once we've gotten a lot of this stuff in place, this has been easy.
Okay.
Like
that's good to know. I think.
Yeah.
It's so much more automatic. It's, you know, hey, let's get together the documents for this. Let's put together a vote. Like, it's great when we still have, you know, we can still reach out to Synac and be like, hey, we want a vote for this setup. And he can just roll that. And then we have no access to the back end. You know, we try to say that and be like, hey, we don't know what the vote's looking like for this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
We put a CIC in place. We can see the conversation, but it's hands off for us. You know, we don't, unless there's a question that directly comes to us, like we're kind of like,
you don't interject, don't bother us.
Yeah. It's not our place.
Okay.
You know, my opinion or any one of the five of our opinion does not enter that room. You know, it's a lot simpler. Whereas like when we were council, it was, I'm going to read up. I have to figure out my own opinion. I have to look over all these races.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. Like, I can get emotionally invested in it, but I don't want to even do that. You know, we don't want to have a thought because we don't want to jump in there and say anything ever.
Right.
It's interesting because I remember, you know, and I don't mean this as a slight against anyone, but I remember like the admins sometimes would chime in if they knew something about what was going on with a particular runner and a cheating investigation. Not saying that they were like, you should do this or you shouldn't do this, but it was just, there would be some two cents thrown in. I assumed it was probably the same way, but I'm glad to know that, like, you know, that's what you guys are like, no, we're not going to do that. Just let them handle it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's, you know, like when I forget if we were on one of these, like with this was council or the transitionary period where it was like, you know, a tournament organizer could still reach out and say like, here's the, was it the 80 keys tourney or something? Like, did we receive that one?
The 80 keys one, I remember we got something.
Like it was pre TARC admins and pre CIC. Where like we got that that information in and had to, you know, say something and still kind of do things the old way.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays it's, you know, we get the requests, we get the contacts, and, you know, there's growing pains with this. I wouldn't expect it any other way. Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone is kind of expecting that. And I think it'd be extremely surprising if we managed to just, you know, transition from one thing to something that seems similar on a first glance, but is really something completely different. If you really think about it, because I feel like the TARC admin body itself is, as you just explained, pretty much, much less of a, I don't know if this is the right word, but much less of a controlling body, I guess I want to say, right? You're not sitting down and discussing amongst yourself and then either making a rule or banning a cheater or something. You're more like, we're gathering the information and then we're presenting it to you guys. And now you decide what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the vote we just went through with the auto tracking, like mm-hmm. that was a back and forth. That was not us trying to push this one. What happened was that Structural Mike came to us and he said, you know, I have a proposal for what auto tracking should look like in the future. Mm-hmm. Can you guys put this out there for people to discuss? So it went out, people discussed it, and then it came time for a vote. You know, we allowed the community to edit that document and try to come to an agreement of what this stuff should look like for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And man, I think I'm glad this happened when it did, as far as like a new auto tracking discussion, which I guess is a great segue into our sponsor, not our sponsor though. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad it didn't come up again for council. Like, I said this, I think last episode, but I was really having like, when I heard it was happening again, I'm like, I'm not reading that. You know, you do something under quote unquote obligation for so long. Eventually you just kind of want to be like, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's where I was. And anyway, I'm just glad people did discuss it in a civil way, we'll say, at least at the TARC server, as far as I know.
For the most part, I mean, there was the spillover that I think, you know, perf you guys saw in Ladder that we dealt with also in TARC. And that was unfortunate. But, you know, some of the stuff you're saying about, like, you know, reviewing this stuff, Dante, like, how many times, you know, this glitch needs to be reviewed. Like, I think there's still some of that lingering where, like, you ask Fear and I, and it's like, do we really have to?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's definitely a part of us who, like, is, we don't want to go into some of these topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to be like, bro, Specky Clip was a mistake. Even after the, you know, the entire community overwhelmingly voted that in. And then, you know, someone, there's going to be, it's going to be like, not specifically that one. I'm just using that for an example since it's so new, but, let me recap here for our listener really fast. So if you want to know about this transition period we've been discussing between council and now with TARC, episode 131 of this very podcast, you can hear about the council dying and TARC forming. That was quite the series of events. On top of that, auto tracking, we talked about it last week or last episode just a little bit, and there was a vote ongoing. And by the time the episode came out, the vote had settled. And there's been a lot of, I put it in the outline to be funny, a lot of civil discussion since then. But long story short, I guess, the auto tracking vote amendments, we'll say, have passed. And I think that's a good thing. So, like, more stuff can be tracked. Jesse, do you have like a TLDR on that?
Yeah. So, like, in my view, it was total checks, dungeon items, and like those were the two that really kind of spoke to me as like the important issues of it. Was like those were two things that's explicitly forbidden previously that I saw as like those are the two big ones, was the dungeon item tracking and the total check. So
right, okay.
There might have been some other minutia, but
yeah. I know there's like a new tracker that I saw Andy and Humbug using, and there's like a way to count like auto track chest turns and your bonks like live, which I think is hilarious. I think that's kind of awesome to have like a little competition with your friend, and you have proof now that, hey, I got this many chest turns in this race.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. I think it's fun to see what people are coming up with for what they want to track. You know, those are, I think some people were saying, oh, we could actually track in real time the damage taken. Like, you know, knowing that kind of information, like, does it have any value? No, but I think they're, you know, as a group, as a community, we just like having that in front of us.
I know there's a small subset of people who have spreadsheets that they like log. I know when Axial, you know, former host was still playing this game, he tracked every single race that or seed that he did. And I don't know how in depth he did it, but if you write down like all of your credit stats, then, you know, if you have it like auto populate into a tracker or a text file, you know, that I think I could see some benefit to that for someone who wants to like log their improvement per se.
Yeah, that would be interesting to just find that information out. It's been 4 years that I've been doing this to see where it all started and where it's at. That'd be cool. But
yeah,
I don't know if I have the drive to do that.
You get like the way tournaments are now, and it's like there's not enough time to write down all these seeds, especially when you're tired from a tournament. But so the vote passes, and people rejoice. Some people rejoice. Some people get mad. I don't know why, but they did. Anyway, Dunka then comes out. This is where I'm really glad this has come to a resolution, because I did not want to have to spitball like, here's what we should do. You know, I didn't want to be that guy. Because I totally would have on accident. But Dunka comes out and says the ladder initially is not going to follow the Tark rules. And then this, of course, rocks the boat, for lack of better phrasing. Dunka was very... I'm going to speak for Dunka for just a minute, because this is how I perceive it. And you know, I know Herfy's affiliated with Ladder Admin, so I don't want to put him too deep in the hot water. But Dunka was very initially happy with the line in the sand that the council had drawn. He would have preferred in some ways that auto tracking never had been a thing. And part of me would agree with that. However, I'll say this. Someone told me that this game, this hobby, competing is not the precipice, I guess, of like super stringent competition. Like, it's supposed to be for fun. And when you try and limit things, you know, that are really not damaging the competitive scene, I think that's when you really do have, like, you have to kind of step back and evaluate. So I've kind of had, like, because of that, like, it helped it click a little more, like, okay, maybe what we did 4 years ago, allowing it, was not actually a mistake, even though in my head, I thought it was, you know, especially with, you know, the arguments that were unfolding now. But I don't know how you guys feel. I don't know how, you know, Jesse and her feel here, but I'm kind of glad that things did progress the way they did. I'm glad that Dunka has now said, this is, we're moving the line, you know, with you guys, but this is the last time we're moving it. Like, he's kind of taken a stand here saying that if something changes again, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. But I kind of got the idea that everybody, I use that everybody term loosely. Everybody seemed to be very okay, the players of the community, with this new line in the sand. Whereas when we allowed auto tracking, we did have some people who initially did say our line in the sand, they were just like, why is it here? But now it seems like everyone's a little happier. I mean, is that a good way to describe it? Do you guys feel it's that way too?
I think it's, you know, to me, it was trying to get consistent. It was trying to close the loopholes. And I, you know, that was the big thing that when Dunka made his kind of like, okay, we're going to go in line with Tark here. Like, one of the big points he said was so many people in the feedback discussion had said, I already track maps and compasses like regularly. I track my keys, my maps, my compasses in dungeons to begin with. So this, you know, this is just because this is something we allowed with the original set to those people. This is closing the loop on that discussion from way back. And that was kind of one of the big things that Dunka said, you know, kind of shifted his opinion of why it didn't make as big a difference as he originally thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to sum it up a little bit, we did really discuss everything a whole lot in the admin channel, Dunka and I, and it really only came down to tracking the dungeon items, which was like the biggest bump in the road for especially Dunka. And after, like, everything else that was in there wasn't really a big deal for us. Like, it made either it made no real difference or had no real impact on anything, or it was just, you know, fine the way it was going to be. But the dungeon item tracking was a little bit of an iffy topic for us, especially for Danka, as I said. But then after realizing that people can basically already track that just in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it made it a lot easier to say, all right, listen, we'll go along with it this time. But, you know, this really is the final line that we're going to be willing to allow on here. And to your original question, Dante, it you know, as stupid as it may sound, but it was a community vote after all. So it seems like this is now the, like, generally agreed upon line in the sand that everyone seems to be happy with. And most people are also saying, all right, you know, the next logical thing that would happen is this or that, probably. And we probably don't want that. So, you know, we're kind of hoping that's where it will stay. And, you know, according to Danka, and this time I think he really means it, it's for the latter, it's definitely going to stay like this. But, yeah. I think, you know, overall, even though there was a lot of heated discussion and some outliers that we don't want to get into right now, it all turned out fine and everyone's happy and we're all, you know, nobody has to use different trackers for ladder and everything else and stuff like that, which I think, you know, is also just a convenience thing that I personally felt a little bad about putting on people. But, you know, I'm behind Danka and his decision, so I was willing to make that leap with him, basically. But it's just nicer when everything works the same way, basically.
When there's not a rift. I mean, I remember when auto-tracking wasn't allowed in Ladder for a little while, and, you know, people were upset. But, you know, you mentioned that there were a couple of, like, outliers. You know, I want to say this, like, because even me and a couple of servers where I was kind of talking out, my own thought process with people. I got the feeling that maybe I did, like, offend somebody, you know, just trying to talk out, well, here's a good reason to not allow auto tracking. Here's a good reason to not expand it, but here's good reasons to expand it or to allow it. And so, like, you know, just thinking things through, you know, I really feel like it's very easy to misinterpret a lot of people on the internet, especially in text form. I do it all the time. So I'm super guilty of it. And I always assume the worst. And that's terrible. I should assume the best. And I'm, you know, unless someone does something blatant, which, you know, unfortunately we saw a little bit of some, you know, blatant bad faith things, you know, in I'll say the Ladder server a while back regarding this, you know, I think we should try and look for the best. It's very easy to fall prey as, you know, I think someone's attacking me, or I think that they're attacking a group of people. And I don't know about you guys, but it's very easy to put your foot in your mouth. And, like, I might be actually doing now, but, like, it's very easy to just, like, constantly say something and have the best intention with it. And it just sounds like you didn't think that through at all. Like, and you have no feelings in your soul at all.
Yeah.
And, like, but I will say, one of the things that we, you know, we knew that this, what you guys were going to say with the Ladder, like, Danka, you guys have a good line of communication with the Tark admins. And, like, Danka had made it clear to us, like, you guys were not interested in the change at the time. And like, that's one of those things is, like, I read some of the discussions. I try to stay out of them because even if I hold no power as a Tark admin, like, I can't affect the vote beyond what I just feel. And if I vote for something, but, you know, I still realize that the fact that I am a yellow name in that server does hold power, does hold weight. So, like, I don't want to enter those discussions lightly, but, you know, when we heard that from Danka, we're like, is this something we reveal? Is this something that is our place to even say? Is, like, you know, should we reveal what he's planning? Because, like, I think some people have said, had said, post it was like, why didn't we know? Like, my vote might have changed if I knew Danka wasn't going to at the time. So, like, I don't know. I don't think there was an easy answer there.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, that's another thing we talked about a little bit in the Ladder Discord itself, where on the one hand, I agree that we could have announced it when the vote went live, but, you know, be like, hey, listen, this is happening. If this passes, we're probably not going to allow it on the ladder. But of course, we also understand that as ladder admins and as the big platform that we are currently, we hold some amount of power, and we didn't really want to influence the votes in that way, right? Because if you generally would like to have the new auto tracking rules, but then your only reason to vote no on them is because, oh, I don't want to be inconvenienced playing ladder. You know, I'm glad you like ladder that much, but that's a pretty shitty reason to vote no on that, to be honest. You know, even coming from me, that's like, you know, that shouldn't be a reason to vote no on that. So I guess that's why Dunka didn't want to make it public beforehand. But I understand why people said, hey, listen, why didn't we know this beforehand? I can say, at least from my perspective, I don't think you guys did anything wrong, you guys as in the TARC admins. I don't think, you know, it was really your job to announce that or to make it known to people. If anything, Dunka should have made that decision. And I think he, as I said, to not influence anything, he purposely did not announce it beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all realize the power we hold in that regard. And it's, you know, it's not light. It's not a light amount of power here. It's a lot when, you know, people do trust us to do these things for the right reasons. So,
yeah, for
and
sure.
And I'll say this from experience, it doesn't matter which road you take, it's the wrong one.
Oh, yeah.
Because definitely, you do one thing because you're like, I don't want to piss these people off here. And then the other set of people are going to be mad. And then if you had done the other thing, then you're going to, it's like it flip flops. It's like there's like a 50-50 split.
I mean, how many times have we seen that in the last six or few months among all the issues we've dealt with?
Yeah.
You know, from cheating investigations to this, like it's, you know, however we handle it, it's going to be, some people are not happy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so like we said, story all has a happy ending. Ladder is allowing auto tracking, everything that has changed so far. So if you missed out on change, like putting your word in on something you wanted changed, too bad. It's ship has sailed. At least I'm hoping this is the new line for, I'm going to say the rest of my rando lifetime is what I'm hoping. So, just because my whole thing was, I'll say this in closing, I wanted not to open up everything, but it feels like you honestly should. Just because if you've opened Pandora's box, but you're trying to stay in like compartment B and A of Pandora's box, like the box is just open at this point. So, that was why I voted yes. I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, just do it. That's where I am. So, but yes, happy ending. We are going to have it on ladder. And, speaking of ladder, I'm going to throw some things over to Herf here. Season 22 came to an end, and we have some champions.
We have some champions indeed. So let's go through these real quickly. I also see a name in there that you know, seems kind of relevant right now, but we'll get to that when we get to that. So let's start off with the casual boost champion, which is Tignaldo. GG's to him. The cross keys champion, Magno. We've got the dark open champion, one of the newer modes, Tam. We've got the Animizer champion, Mr. Ed. We've got the Gigabeck champions, Magno and Schalter. We've got the mystery champion, Radical Sniper 99, aka Jesse, right here with us. GG's to you, man. Good job.
Thank
especially
you.
In mystery, I think, you know, it's a it's a feat to stay on top because you never really know what you're going to get. I mean, you kind of do, but
That's the thing. I think it's like I've always said mystery is one of my favorite things to play. And I kind of laughed at the fact I hadn't played enough ladder to ever get one. Like, I've been around since season one of ladder. Like, wait, I was in season zero. Okay. Like, I've been playing since the beginning of ladder, and I just never went for any of them. And I was like, we're going to try this season. And no, it's a fun thing. I just don't have enough time to play a lot of ladder. And I was just like,
I feel that,
you know, I'm looking at when it came down to the overall champions, and I'm like, I used to do that many ladder races, but no.
Yeah. All right. So to round this out, we've got the open champion, Hayfield Bay, and the season 22 overall champion, Magno, who, you know, made it to cross keys and Gigabeck champion. So kind of given there in a way. But GGs to all of those guys. You know, it's not easy to stay on the top, I would say, especially for a whole season or make it there by the end of the season. So GGs to all of those guys.
Yeah, it's definitely tough to do. So, you know, I remember the only shot I ever had at a ladder title was champion swordless because I played like five. the problem was I lost, I think, my last two. And I was like, well, there's not a chance now. So I didn't play like the last race of the season, you know, as did most people not do, you know, but, you know, that would have been a nice way to laugh about all that. But that aside, there has been Dunka teasing an announcement amongst all the other things happening on Ladder that there's a stream happening April 6th. Where it seems like I remember him saying, quote, we are going to destroy the ladder. I wanted to try and press our insider informant. Because as your president, I have no information.
That's such a lie. That's funny. I was going to say, that's so funny that you're going to press me, even though you know exactly what's going to happen.
Wow. Her revealing all the details. Okay. So what I will say, and I am contractually obligated to not say anything, but I'm going to say this, this is, if you enjoy Ladder, I think this is a weekend that you probably want to have your phone on to listen, if you're out somewhere or, you know, to the stream, or just watch it if you're sitting at home, you know, having lunch or dinner or something. So, you know, Dunka wants to keep things exciting, I think. So this will be some interesting things, and I'm looking forward to seeing how everybody responds.
Yeah, me too.
Especially on the end of, you know, Jesse's sitting here like, oh God, what's happening? I do think it'll be a good thing. I wanted to try and protect my anonymity or whatever the entire time, no, but Herb just outed me. He's like, I'm not doing this alone.
If anything, you're going down with me. I think the only thing that I will say, and that I probably can say without Dunka ripping my head off, if he can reach that far up, is we're not going to immediately destroy the ladder on April 6th. We're just going to announce when and where it's going to happen and what's going to happen.
I'll be curious to see how much the channels light up again. But
it's going to be interesting. I would definitely say if you enjoy doing Ladder Now, as Dan, she said, if you enjoy doing Ladder Now and if you want to know what's going to happen, you should 100% tune in. You don't have to watch the whole thing, but you definitely want to know what the announcement is.
Yeah, even checking the VOD, if you there'll probably be an announcement. You'll see a ping, I guess.
Oh, yeah, but for sure.
Anyway, so moving on, let's talk about tourneys. There's quite a few of those ongoing, and apparently some of them are concluding here very, very soon. The German tournament that we plugged several episodes ago is in its top four. Mufte is facing off against Schulzer, and Vinter will be playing against Ravis. So that'll be really interesting to see how this all pans out. You know, Schulzer, a really good runner. Mufte, I know, worldwide, been coming up, you know, up and coming, so to speak, being very good. Vinter, been around for a while now, doing really good. I think was a ladder champion in a previous season, too.
I think so,
And Ravis, you know, who is Ravis?
I mean, do we even have to talk about it?
Who is Ravis? I don't know this guy. Okay. But shout outs to Ravis for beating Thelane. You know, that's another well-known name there. And no offense to the rest of the other top eight, but I don't know them as well, or don't know the names as well. But so we'll see how that pans out. Maybe that'll be completed by next episode. I actually have a link to the bracket now instead of having to just the rules doc. So we'll be able to kind of figure that out. Z3R multi-world tournament. The finals are set between, okay, Herf, this is where you sub in. Give me these names.
This is really easy. These are two words you need to learn if you know any German people, because that's Team German Potatoes. So Deutsche Kartoffeln.
Okay. All right. Well, I see. All right. I don't have to edit this out.
I don't expect you to pronounce or say this, but that's what it means. You can just call them German potatoes, I think.
All right. So German potatoes. See, I saw the first word and the potato brain I have, you know, the American potato brain. I read it as like douche Kartoffeln. And that's right.
That's not too far away.
Maybe it's insulting.
So I think Germans are used to Americans, you know, doing that.
Doing American things.
Yes.
Tiny potato brains. But they are playing against Pokemon Go Mode. So I look forward to seeing that app on the phone. I do have a list. I should have had this up before we discussed this. But I was going to get the team name. So the German potatoes are Schulzer, Magno, and Brogor, because these are teams of three. And then Pokemon Go Mode is Scottish Brave, 2C Plus, and Trey Spire. So six names you've probably heard once or twice, either on this show or just in the community in general. So best of luck to them for finals. No idea when those are scheduled. We'll see if we can figure out who takes that home. There also is a bronze match that I think is going to be played. That's between Weekend at Saha's, and I'm going to let her do this one too.
Well, back to me. This one's Zockerstübchen, which what would that mean in English? That's like gamer den, I guess, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I'm not even like going to try to pronounce that one.
That's a reasonable translation. I feel like I might get flamed for that, but I'll take it.
Can you? Like, I should have asked, but Jesse, could you say any of these? Like, are you fluent in German?
I took some German, but like, wasn't Zockerstübchen like a league team? Like, I feel like
probably this is,
the name sounds very familiar. Yeah. At least, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that right.
See who those people are, but like, I'm pretty sure that was a league team.
Mm-hmm. So Zucker is what I'm going to say. I'm going to abbreviate it that way. Is Aliwan, Soilwork, and Danman. So they'll be facing off, let's see, against the Saha, Weekend to Saha's, Mechanico Pie, Talon, and Arabid Wombat. So that is going to be the bronze face-off team. So best of luck to them as well. And I'll keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Zucker might have been an open league team, and that's why it rings a bell for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say, like, I know they're not in invitational, but they may be. There's a lot of team name bleed over from I saw on this doc here from the league, which is kind of cool to see. Like, there's like the same people carrying it over. I like seeing teams play in other leagues, we'll call it. It's like,
I mean, makes sense, right? If you need a team of three in both of them, it just kind of presents itself.
And Spy and them did a great job of, like, when did they first run their first one? Was like right after a league season ended. So it was like over, and we're going to start another team based event. And it's right now, oh, hey, I'm with these people already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes total sense. The other tournament that's about to wrap up is NMG League Season 6. This is not so much randomizer, but it is Linked to the Past. So this is NMG, the vanilla speedrun, the main category of any percent, we'll call it, no major glitches. So they're in the final week. They only do 3 weeks of this. It's a Swiss tournament. So we'll go through who the 2-0s are really quick. There's four divisions, and it goes, I'm going to list them high to low here. So Tower of Hera, Desert Palace, Eastern Palace, Hyrule Castle. And the reason they do it this way, I think, is they want to have, you know, close, exciting, interesting races. So they have qualifiers and so on and so forth. So, and it can be fast. So the Tower of Hera division, the finals is going to be between Aeroror and Doomtap. We'll see which one of them can claim a potential second or third, I forget, title between the two of them. Aeri may have three already. I'm not sure, but I know there's a lot going on there. Jim and Tam will be in the Desert Palace group in the 2-0 slot to try to take the title there. Secretly a Sliver versus Jaspili Willy will be in Eastern Palace, and Concision versus Twin in Hyrule Castle. So Jesse, you're in this event as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I've done this is my third or fourth time in the NMG League. Okay. I have to say, like, Fox runs a great show with this one. FoxLisk has just put together such an amazing event with these, and he ran it three times last year. We did NMG in the early part of the year and the end of the year. During the middle portion of the year, he actually did a vanilla preset season.
Right.
So we had a whole season of that. And, you know, he's definitely very open talking to the community for this of like, what mode do we want to see? Because he doesn't want to just do NMG all the time either. Like,
yeah,
but that's going to be the focus of it. You know, we talked about, or the whole, he'll leave, he's got the feedback open right now, and he's just like, what kind of stuff do you want to see us play? And I know a lot of us have said it would be great if we could do Hundo, but Hundo is not competitive.
Yeah. Like, Hundo can really suck.
Yeah. So like, we have gotten to the point where we said, well, if we want to do Hundo vanilla preset, or do, you know, maybe we can learn, you know, have people learn how to do the RMG all dungeons route or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So like, definitely some different categories.
I remember the AD RMG tournament back in 2020, because I almost entered that. And I know that route was pretty fun to learn and do. And then I remember, like, I think Yuzu kind of broke the early game open even more. So like, it became a little more to learn and play. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but I remember something drastically changing with it. I know someone is going to be in the Discord correcting me on if Jesse doesn't already know. But yeah, there was definitely something that changed with it. I would love to see that again. I know that's not NMG League, quote unquote, because that's major glitches, but it would be nice, I think, to see another tournament of that. I might actually would dust off the vanilla and play that again. But yeah, it'd be cool to see other things. I would agree with that.
And that's the thing. Like, I think what really just works the best about this tournament is how quick it is. You know, we'll have 2 or 3 weeks of qualifier, which is really just get a run done. Yeah. And then what are you doing? You're doing three NMG races. So there's, you know, there's the group. The Hera division this season was just absolutely terrifyingly stacked. There is, you know, for as much as we might say that the NMG like community or the NMG runs are a little less than they used to be, like when you look at who's in Hera division this season, you're like, no, this is alive and good. Like, there's a lot of people who still run NMG regularly. And
yeah,
there's a lot of competition there. I think everybody was 125 or better. So like, the times were just insane. And then, you know, as we went into the Desert Palace division, I know had quite a bit more spread, but still really strong. And Eastern, that's where it got kind of, the range is a little bit more silly.
Yeah, for sure. Where
Kazen and I were the bottom of Eastern Palace division, and like, he and I both have a 128 PB, but like, Vortex and Sliver and Willy and, you know, all the other people in there is like quite the spread. And then I have to say the fact that he runs the extra like overflow division with Hyrule Castle, like right. We almost had a full Hyrule Castle division for the first time ever.
That's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool to hear that it, you know, also is growing and not just, you know, the same, I don't know, 20 or 15 or whatever people play in every time, and then it gets kind of stale really quickly. It's cool that there's, you know, more interest being drawn.
Yeah, out. We had people who joined this season who have done three NMG runs. You know, that Hyrule Castle division is, you know, we had some grinders in there who are, I'll say like going into the season, there was this runner Concision who like I hadn't really heard of, but he's been grinding away at NMG and really showing the work. And then we had like Aku Haish and IB Karma, like two people who we know in the rando community who were just like, yeah, let me give it a shot and try to do, you know, NMG for one.
Yeah. It's always cool to see like rando bleed over into NMG. And I think it's cool now to see people who maybe are NMG centric, you know, especially in this day and age, bleed over into, you know, into rando, like back and forth, back to, you know, cause back in the day, it was like, if you did the speed run, you played rando. And then the people who hated the way rando was, they just kind of, you know, did their own thing. But, you know, now having it kind of go back and forth is kind of nice. I'm looking at the qualifiers, you were talking about how scary the Tower of Hera division was. And so like, I'm a little confused because Yurok qualified seventh, but he's in the Desert Palace division.
And I can actually explain this one. There's actually a feedback going on back and forth about this.
Oh, no. Did I touch a nerve here?
No. It's just funny because this one actually is influenced by Fox as well, because he's the other side of this discussion is when they submitted the times, there was a dead tie based on time. And they had to decide, counting frames or who submitted first, like all these little minutiae. Or going down to the middle second, like that's not something he has people submit. So he's kind of like, how should this look for tiebreakers?
Gotcha. So no,
actually something he's kind of taking feedback on, because for the first time we had a tie that resulted in one person like going up and the other person going down.
Yeah, I'm looking at the submitted times. So Yurok had a 125.16. Chex Human had a 125.16 and Foxlisk had a 125.17. So there's like a three-way deal going on, almost there. So I'm assuming Yurok was the unfortunate recipient of the tiebreaker there. Yep. Or maybe was there a tiebreaker race, I guess?
No, he avoids that. He just did the reviews of the VODs and, had to go off of that. So
I got you. Okay.
Yep. That works. A little more manual.
If he can avoid the extra overhead of like extra races, that's preferable.
Understandable. Yeah,
that makes total sense. All right. Well, that explains that. But yeah, I was looking at the qualifiers just because you said how scary they were. I mean, those are the three lowest times, like a low 125, like a sub 125.30. Under, for just that top eight, that's top nine. And even like top 10. Let's see, all the way to, I'm going to say even Spleeby here at 13th, because he had a 126 flat. So everything 13th and under is either 126 flat at 0-0 or a 125 or lower. And that's kind of incredible. Like there was three 124s and Airy had a 123. So, that's scary. That's scary.
Some good times.
Vortex, who's in Eastern Palace, like he was grinding a lot harder. He's just kind of taken a bit more of a step back.
Mm-hmm.
For Eastern Palace, he's terrifying in that group because like if he just knocks off the rust, like that's, he's in that group. Like he's in the 126s, 125s discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see how this all shakes out. I know a lot of these are going to be on ZSR, the Zelda Speedruns channels. If they get comms, they usually have a restream ready to go. So be on the lookout for those, follow those channels. And I guess, join the NMG Discord or NMG League Discord if you haven't already. And if you want to get started.
There's a very healthy jank stream also for that group. I will say, Where's the Money Meowski has done probably a half dozen or more.
Wow.
Streams, just nice. Jank, like did multiple in a day. I know Secretly a Sliver's done a couple. Like there's a good healthy group just doing the jank stream just in case we can't get it on ZSR.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So yeah, be on the lookout for those. And I guess now let's do GMP community updates. So last episode, we talked about how the Cross Keys Mentor Tournament had ended and the other Mentor Tournament, the No Logic one, is still ongoing. But as I promised, because, I had a big hand in doing this, the bracket has been made with 14 participants. Overall, number one seed looks like, I jumped in like I was going to read names professionally and well. Sacrijuts. I don't think I know that name. That's a new name, but they are the overall number one seed. Venter, number two seed. We talked about them. Muffins, number three, just going through a couple more. Dr. Earworm, friend of the show. And I think one of the admins for this tournament or helping with it at least is the fourth seed. And then, Amerith, fifth seed. Let's see. I'm just, at this point, I've got my foot in my mouth. We'll go through them all. Tracepire in sixth right now. Buddhist Man, seventh. Eighth was Duden, ninth Leaf, and then 10th we've got Nessa Neko Chan, 11th, you know, it's so hard to go through these brackets when, you know, they're not in order when you're trying to talk through them, but is Picks. 12th is PH, and 13th and 14th respectively are Gabriel J. Campos and Angels. So, you know, I want to mention all of them only because, like, man, I say this every time, and I sound like a broken record, but whenever I see people playing No Logic, my brain breaks. It literally does. Mm-hmm. And so kudos to them for, like, you know, taking up the challenge and learning this. Jesse, you ever played No Logic or tried to?
No, I am not a glitched runner at all. I talk with Kazen about this one, and I've said to, we've both kind of said, like, if GMP runs the HMG again, like, I might do an HMG mentor tourney, just to kind of get my feet wet. But obviously, yeah. No Logic, I couldn't just jump into that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the HMG stuff, kind of in line with the ADRMG type deal. You know, I think it's the same clips that you would need to know, but or most of the same clips, at least when I was doing the ADRMG back in 2020. So back in my day, but yeah, looking forward to seeing how this all pans out. We are down to just our top eight, as it is it looks like single elimination. And I believe it is best of ones, but they are mentored through this. So that's always a good thing. We'll see how this shakes out over the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll have a finals at worst case to announce, and then we'll see who brings home the crown. Biweekly seed. Last time we did the War for Hyrule boss hunt, courtesy of Lumaga. I fully intended to play this. I actually fully intended to, because I wanted to, one, see if the seed worked. Two, because at one point Lumaga wasn't sure, and no one's complained, so I'm assuming it did. And then two, it just seemed like a fun mode. And man, I may still play it before this comes out. Who knows? But I did not get to play it before we recorded. Herf, I know you didn't play it, right?
Nope, I sure didn't.
Yeah, he sure didn't. Jesse, did you by chance see this or hear about it, play it?
I see them. I just haven't been consistent. I had a period where I was running like GMP biweeklies every week. And then recently I've kind of been not as consistent on hitting them.
It's so hard to stay. I remember at one point I was like super consistent on doing like the Reddit, like async SMZ3s that were posted when Bressingham used to post those all the time. And then I just was like, I can't keep doing this. Cause it was like, for a while for me, it was the only way to competitively play SMZ3, just because like, it's so long. People want to fire off a race at 9 PM and I'm like, yeah, no thanks. But, looking at the leaderboard, we had like 17 people play it. So shout out to you guys. Some good times there, a lot of variance in those times too. So maybe, you know, I'm looking at, and I guess I can't submit a time now cause I'm looking at it, but you know, I was looking for an excuse, I guess, is the way to look at it.
Don't look at the spoilers, you know, you can play it and you know what's possible, but you don't know how.
Yeah. When I hit the mark there, I'll be like, all right, what did I do wrong? You know, it's so easy to unfortunately metagame that. So I guess, you know, keeping tradition, I said that last time, but Jesse, you're here. Do you want to pick a mode for this episode's biweekly seed?
Yeah. So, you did give, at least set me up on this one a little bit to think about it. And was thinking Kabuki Hundo, to anybody who hasn't played the mode, it is not like a completionist mode. It is actually just casual boots, 80 keys. Mm-hmm. And we came up with the silly name of Kabuki Hundo. This was a 40 bonks mode. Okay. So came up with it, and it's kind of been like the favorite mode of that Discord for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so, yeah.
Now the mode name, I think I went through this with my, I think I went through it with my next spoiler log guest, but I'm assuming the ka is in this name is the casual boots, like kaboo is casual boots. And then the key is the 80 keys, and Hundo is just because it's 80 keys. It feels like everybody's playing Hundo, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, and that was the thing is like, we discussed names. Like I think I had said it should be Kadbuki. Just to get that casual boots kind of thing. But that was kind of where we settled at the time without realizing in the future, eventually Hundo was going to be a thing.
Yeah, that's always the problem. And you do stuff like that.
Every time we've had this mode, somebody has come back and been like, do I have to get all 216 checks? No, no, no. You're fine. Don't worry. You don't have to get everything.
God. Yeah. It always feels like you're playing Hondo, especially since, you know, you're not starting with Castle Tower keys. They're not vanilla. It's actual AD in this. Mm-hmm. But you can start with boots, so it makes it a little nicer.
And you're going through the whole escape sequence with it. You're doing a casual boots escape, so it removes that early, like, do I do escape or don't I? Like, you have to do it and you have to get through it. So it's an easy set of checks to start, and like, it cleans up the route a little bit.
It removes the temptation, I think, to greed. Like, can I get some Castle Tower access maybe to check some items there and bundle it with escape? And then you end up getting like both Castle Tower keys inside of Hyrule Castle. So
But the other thing I will say is I have heard rumor that the next iteration of the Kabuki Hundo tournament is probably coming soon.
Okay.
Been talking to those guys. So looks like it's coming soon. So good timing for this one. If my information's correct.
The intel, the hot intel.
Yep. Yeah. We've had such a lull of tournaments recently, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, the main tournament delays, you know, 6 months with, so League can have their way. And then suddenly, everyone's like, oh, let's run a tournament. So there's just so many.
Yeah.
But
no, I actually know why League was delayed. So.
Oh, so why was League delayed?
League was delayed so Leo could get surgery.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's my co-op team for that tournament.
That makes sense. Well, now that my true plan was revealed.
Yes, exactly.
But hopefully, I mean, joking all aside, I hope Leo can get what she needs to done and recovers well from that. You know, I didn't know she was actually going to be going through that. So I hope that works out for her.
Yeah. The League season was interesting. Like her wrists are just a mess right now. And it was just, you know, that's not fun for anybody to deal with.
No, there's been some times where, like, you know, not, this is going to sound like I'm trying to compare situations, but like, there's been some times where, like, in the gym, I have like just strained some tendons, like in my hand. And then I was like in the middle of League and I'm like, bro, just pressing the D-pad like is painful. And then the me thinking the worst of everything, I'm just like, all right, is this how I go down? Is this how I have to retire from Rando? Like actually quit playing. But it'd be interesting to see if that tournament does come back. Like you were saying, I'm curious if I hope it's not like double Elim and best of like five or whatever it was the whole way.
I will say, knowing the admins, like I've talked with them and I think they took that criticism on pretty hard with last time where it was
hard or they took, you mean like
they took it on. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to like make them feel bad.
No. I think they realized how long that one kind of dragged at the end. Mm-hmm. Like that's a lot. I think like, I know Jon Snow had been running that one and like that was kind of his thing to put together. And he comes from the fighting game community. So like his whole thought was like, you know, when we do tournaments for that, it's double Elim, it's best of whatevers, and it's both of these things. And in Zelda, what do? It's double Elim or best of three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he was like, no, let's try both. And it kind of showed why we do one or the other.
Oh, it does. Both.
Yeah.
I think I even mentioned that in one episode where it's like, it's very comparable to like rhythm games too. Cause like we do double elimination and it's best of three. And then sometimes for different tournaments, it's like best of five for winners and losers finals and grand, but it's like, you're playing a minute and a half to a 2 minute song. And in fighting games, you're playing, you know, what's, I'm assuming most fighting games still use a 99 second or something close to it timer per round. So the rounds are fast, but instead it's like a 99 minute timer for, you know, Link to the Past in most cases.
And we're talking 80 keys. So we're talking a good hour 40, like 100 minutes a run. Yeah,
exactly. So I could definitely see how that could have burned some folks out, but it'd be interesting to see, like I said, if it comes back, I'll be looking forward to seeing the participation level for that. But I guess let's go ahead and wrap things up. We never plug Twitch handles anymore, Herf. So, you know, watch Herf never stream at twitch.tv/herfyderfy. You can find me at twitch.tv/Danty. And Jesse here, you could see if I remember right off the top of my head, Radical Sniper 99. There's no underscores or anything in that, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I was like, man, if it's like temp underscore and it doesn't show up in searches, I'm going to be looking like I got pie on my face. I always look that way. But also we got a Patreon, you know, shout outs to everybody who is part of that Patreon. And if they can be, we do appreciate it. Temp, myself and her do appreciate the support in that regard. But let's go shout outs. Herf, you got any fun and exciting things to talk about?
Well, I mean, I've been thinking what I've been playing lately. And really, I think I talked about this last time, but it had just come out, the second part of the Final Fantasy VII Remake, Rebirth, I think it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
And
forgot it. Like,
not really. I finished it by now, but I ended up putting a total of about 130 hours into it.
Okay, so almost 40 more since you last checked in. Wow.
Yeah, I finished it and then did some post game cleanup and, you know, messed around a little bit here and there. But I think I'm finally calling it quits. I almost got the platinum trophy, but there's some battle challenges that are only possible on hard mode, and I'm just too bad at it. I guess I just can't get past them, so I gave up.
Earth bad confirmed.
Yeah. Old man, washed up.
Earth. Washed up, man. Jesse, yeah. You got any fun and exciting things? I know you variety stream a decent bit, and I know you still achievement hunt, right? Like on Xbox.
Yeah, I recently actually just finished up an event called Leapfrog with the website that I frequent for achievement stuff. Mm-hmm. We had to get an achievement. Like, it was day one, you get one achievement in one game. Day two is one achievement in two games. And so it just kept on increasing day to day. I've been an achievement person for a while for Xbox stuff. I'll play whatever. I think it's more fun that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any of the random stuff. Big game I've been playing recently, Talos 2 with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Like, she and I have been co-streaming this one pretty much weekly. So
I've heard of that, but I have no idea. Is this Talos Principle 2?
Yeah. Talos Principle 2.
Okay. All right, I'm looking this up like live because I'm. All right, I'll have to check this out and add it to my list. It's pretty intuitive
puzzles. I would say start with one. It is kind of it's actually a sequel. But like the second one kind of starts off that under believing you have a base knowledge of the puzzle types. So
Gotcha. Okay, so this is a Devolver Digital game. Interesting.
Yes. We know like they always do pretty good work. Like I can't say I've played too much by them that has not been fun.
Yeah, I agree. The game itself is a little too puzzly for me personally, but that doesn't say anything about the quality of the actual game because it's still a great game. I can definitely recognize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, this is bad because I see Devolver Digital and now I want to play Hotline Miami again. it's like a never ending circle of just wanting to constantly play that. So, cool. I started Mario Wonder and I had a bad time, and I'm going to tell you I had a bad time.
No, I'm interested to hear this.
So I didn't. So mainly because I didn't read. Okay. This is another one of those, this is my fault type thing. Okay. I just saw all these characters to pick. Right. And I'm like, bro, they got Yoshis. I'm going to pick the blue Yoshi. And so I just went with blue Yoshi and I was having, you know, I was like, man, this is easy. Cause I can flutter. I can shoot my tongue and like get things. Mm-hmm. And then I finally got hit like four levels in and I'm like, he didn't get big or small. And I noticed I wasn't getting any power-ups and I like, they were just like going in the bank thing. I'm like, dude, what is wrong? Like, why is this not as advertised? I was so frustrated. And then I finally cut my Switch off and turned it back on, like, you know, instead of just like the sleep mode. So I had to boot the game back up and it forces you to pick a character again. And then I actually read it and was like, I'm an idiot. So I started back playing as Luigi. I've been having a little more fun. I'm still very early on. Like, it's kind of like get the kid to bed, get on the couch, play a level or two, try to get all the wonder seeds. And then I'm like, all right, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Mm-hmm. very, very old man energy. So as far as gaming, I had to share that I have done some gaming, like in all of my crazy, busy life. But the other dumb thing, Herf may have saw this in another Discord. So gambling on sports betting or whatever became legal in North Carolina in my state. So I was like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. And then my boss was talking to me about it. And he's like, yeah, if you put in like $5 of real money, you get free fake money and you get to gamble with it. And if you win, you get stuff. And I'm like, well, March Madness is going. I'll take a look at this. So, and not that I'm encouraging anyone to do this, but I think I invested $10 and then I referred my wife to get another like $300. So we had like $350 of free money to play with. And then after I referred my wife, you know, she had another $100 and then the $250 bonus that you get in North Carolina. So I think between the two of us right now, we have like a little around $100 each left to play within like 5 more days. Which so I'm gonna have to bet on some basketball games like way in advance, but like we're up like $230 between the two of us, which is hilarious because I was stressing about the Monopoly money. Like, I don't know how people actually spend real money, like gambling real money away, with real life consequences. I just don't, I can't fathom that.
I think the problem is exactly that. Eventually you just see your real money as Monopoly money. That's just a balance somewhere on a website. And then you just start going, yeah, you know, the next one will be the one that will win me everything back. And, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Nah, I mentally, I do not respect the people who can do it and do it responsibly. Mm. I just see it and I'm like, dude, this stresses me out. I stress out about betting Twitch channel points that I'm never going to redeem on anyone's stream. So I don't know if does anybody else feel that way? Like, it's like, bro, I don't want to lose these points. It's like getting like the ultimate Pokemon or RPG item, like an X potion. And it's like, I'm going to keep this until I really need it. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the like grand champion in Pokemon. And you're like, all right, well, I don't think I should use this X potion. What if I need it for the end game? And then you don't. So it's like you should have just used it.
But yeah. At that point, you have 20 of those X potions anyway.
Yeah, but you can't use them all. I might need all 20 later.
You never know.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Anyway, I've been doing stuff. So besides, you know, being busy. So I'm glad I've got to actually play some games. And I don't know if I'm glad yet that I got to gamble on games. But Jesse, thank you so much, man, for coming on this episode with us. I know it was a little short notice, but I appreciate you coming in. Always a pleasure.
I was very happy to get the invite. You know, that was a nice little surprise that day.
Yeah, glad to have you on. It was a great time.
Awesome. I guess we'll say it again. It might be you next time, as we don't have anyone else lined up just yet. Mm-hmm. We'll try to give the next person a little more notice. Me and Herf will talk it out. But yeah, that's going to do it for us on this episode of Go Mode Podcast. Thank you for listening. And on behalf of Jesse and Herfy Durfy, I'm Dante, and let's go ahead and mirror out.